President Trump is vowing to win a fight that has seemed unwinnable, the war in Afghanistan. The president outlined a new strategy for America's longest war last night.
We will not talk about numbers of troops or our plans for further military activities. Conditions on the ground, not arbitrary timetables, will guide our strategy from now on.
The president did say that this is not a blank check for Afghanistan, and he will put more pressure on Pakistan to stop giving the Taliban safe haven in that country. Let's get some reaction from Jason Dempsey. He's a former Army officer who fought in Afghanistan. He's now a senior fellow at the Center for a New American Security, and he joins us from Washington. So Jason, welcome, first of all. And did you hear a strategy for victory from the president last night?
I did not. I heard the terms winning and victory quite a bit, but I did not hear quite how we're going to get there. It appeared to be a continuation of the status quo.
I mean, when the president says that he's not going to let arbitrary timetables guide our strategy, it's hard to read his mind, of course, but as commander in chief, is he saying that basically this is going to be an open-ended commitment now?
Absolutely. You know, a lot of people have argued that the timeline, if you say timeline, then Taliban just waits us out. But what they miss is the other half of the argument about why we have a timeline. We have an articulated timeline specifically because that is the most direct incentive to get the Afghans to carry the fight and be self-sustaining. If you're an Afghan right now and you just heard about an open-ended commitment to total victory and you heard about how the power of the U.S. military is going to be unleashed in perpetuity— what incentive do you have to step forward and take the fight yourself?
Now, to this question of total victory, I mean, you fought in Afghanistan. What would or should total victory look like? And is that even possible?
Total victory is absolutely not possible. And that's what's distressing about the speech. And I think where we need a commander-in-chief and where the president absolutely cannot abdicate the role, because he is absolutely the only one that can say, this is what's achievable and this is what I'm willing to give up to achieve it. That strategy, not just declaring that you want to win, but declaring how you're going to win. And in an imperfect world, what are you going to give up to win? And so right now, we're still on this idea that we are going to have kind of a democratic, fully functioning government in Kabul that's able to stand on its own. And while he did kind of allude, or he mentioned, well, you know, we're not going to tell them how to live, he really didn't say, well, what are we willing to let go when he mentioned this principled realism?
Well, you know, the president did mention some specifics, though. I mean, his comments about Pakistan and putting more pressure on Pakistan, I think a lot of people found very interesting. Was he right to say that? And how would he do that?
It's interesting, and I'm no Pakistan expert, but what I would say is we rely on them quite a bit. And the reason we haven't cracked down on Pakistan before, you know, there's several reasons. One, they're a nuclear power. Two, they're constantly on edge with India, and it's a very multi-layered strategy with them. And most directly, as we saw about 6-7 years ago, when we do lay it on Pakistan, they just shut down our ground lines of communication. And that has very direct implications for how we fight the war. So it's really going to be interesting to see, as they retaliate or as they react to this, how much it hinders our efforts in Afghanistan.
You know, it has been 16 years. This is the longest war the United States has been involved in ever. And, you know, in a couple of years, we'll be sending troops there who weren't even born when this conflict began. I just wonder, I know this might just sound like a completely unrealistic statement, but what does the United States have to lose if we were to withdraw altogether from Afghanistan? And I mean, because you're painting a pretty pessimistic picture about what's actually possible there.
Yeah, I am. And unfortunately, there's no easy answer, because withdrawal also comes with consequences. But the question all of us have to ask is, well, is this terrorist sanctuary any more compelling or dangerous than all the other terrorist sanctuaries around the world? And to what end, and how much cost are we going to put in to prevent this one hotspot versus all the others? And again, unfortunately, that's part of the question we haven't answered. And I would say one of the most depressing things about all this was when the president led with the sunk cost argument. And that's really depressing. When you start saying, well, soldiers died here before, therefore we need to double down to justify their sacrifice, that's not a path to a coherent outcome.
Jason Dempsey is a former Army officer who served in Afghanistan. He's now a senior fellow at the Center for a New American Security. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.